Because God is there, and He's more than enough to pull you out of any situation. But don't allow the messenger of Satan sent to park on your shoulder and get into your thought life. Now, what happens is many times people experience hardship and blows in life, and all of a sudden things change. They become distant. They no longer have that joy. They no longer have that confidence in God. And literally, they go into depression. And it happens all the time. Are you with me? You know, something will happen, and then all of a sudden you think, well, what's the point in going on? You know? Oh, my God, this is embarrassing. What's the point in going on? You know, and we're not immune from it. Y'all still out there? Did you leave already? Elijah the prophet, mighty man of God. I mean, Brother Coleman, this dude called fire down from heaven. That's some strong stuff, man. Called fire down from heaven. Killed 450 prophets of Baal. And one woman made a decree, said, I'm going to cut your head off today. And he got out of Dodge so fast. He didn't stop, go to the post office, check the mail. He just, boom, he's booking. He's gone. This is the same guy who called fire down from heaven on troops, soldiers. And he runs from a woman and ends up camped under a tree. And he had one of those dynamic moments when the Lord encountered him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? That's what he said, literally said, what are you doing here, man? Oh, God, I'm the only one. There's nobody served you but me. I killed all the prophets of Baal. Did you go kill me now? I'm the only one who loves you, Lord. Elijah the prophet had a little bout with depression. God said, man, I got 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee, man. What are you talking about? And God ministered to him, strengthened him. But even Elijah the prophet, this great man of faith, working of miracles, even he had a bout with depression. And I'm going to show you how we need to encourage each other, encourage ourselves. Now, turn to Proverbs. We're in Job. Go back over to Proverbs. And go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Well, go to 17. Proverbs 17. Talking about breaking the chains, staying free. This is something that we have to know. Proverbs chapter 17. One verse. Notice verse 22. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Notice what it says. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, a merry heart, a gleeful heart, a glad heart does good like a medicine. Literally, it says like a cure. But a broken spirit, and here the word broken is a Hebrew word, nake. And the word nake means a smitten, a broken, or a wounded spirit dries the bones. Many times we experience difficulty in life, And it's not so much the difficulty that does the damage, but it's that little messenger right behind. And if we're not careful, we'll end up with a broken spirit. Amen. Now, here the Bible says a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, you might think, what in the world does that have to do with our skeletal structure? Well, you know, medical science tells us that our cells that comprise the immune system originate in the bones. Yeah. In 2007, the National Institutes of Health did a study, and you can find this study. The National Institute of Mental Health did a study. Mm-hmm. And it found that women, and this is who they studied, who experience and are going through depression, have bone loss. I'm talking about younger women, not older women. Say younger women. They experience bone loss at a rate equivalent to an older woman who has osteoporosis or calcium deficiency. Why does it work that way? If the enemy can work in the mind from that lofty position in your mind, he'll exert influence over every area of your life. including your health.
Amen.
And when you experience bone loss, your ability to resist disease is diminished and diluted. And so it's important that we pay attention not just to our thought life, but to our mental health. We need to have a merry heart.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, we're looking at Proverbs 17. Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Look at two verses. Proverbs 15. Notice verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. You can be in the same situation. But if you have a merry heart, a glad heart, God will give you an abundant feast right in the middle of a bad situation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But yet somebody sitting right next to you going through the same thing will experience nothing but trouble. Everything's trouble. Everything's evil. It reminds me, years ago we took a bus trip, my wife and I. We went to California on a Greyhound bus. Lord have mercy, that was a long ride. But I was so excited. Now listen, this is the kind of guy I am. Peg and I got married in 1979. You know where we wanted to go on our honeymoon? Hawaii, the Bahamas, Puerto Rico. No, man, you know where we wanted to go? A Ken Copeland Believers Convention in Anaheim, California. And we didn't have enough money to get a plane flight. We took a bus.
All right.
Got on that bus, and on the way back, I'm getting ahead of myself. Got on that bus. It took 3 days to get to California. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. I couldn't stand myself. Mm-hmm. And I remember there's another brother got on the bus in Columbus, Ohio, and we're someplace down in Texas or New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Stopping 3 o'clock in the morning so you go get something to eat and go to the bathroom. So I'm going in there, and that brother was whooped. He looked at me, he said, "Well, man, I see you hanging in there." I said, "Hanging in there? I'm riding this thing, man. I'm excited." He looked at me like I was on crack or nuts. He's like, "Whoa." Same bus. It's whooping him. I was excited. Now, coming back, it was a different story. I couldn't wait to get to Pittsburgh, get off that thing. See, but your attitude has all to do with it. See what I mean?
Amen.
So how do we deal with this? When we get hit in life, you know, and here comes that little messenger behind it. I only am escaped alone to tell. Oh, the devil will make sure you get the bad news. He'll make sure you get the bad news. If he's got to spare a life, he'll do it.
Amen.
Just so you can hear the bad news. That's the way he works. But listen, let me tell you something. If you'll learn to focus in on what God has done for you, know who you are, stay dressed in the armor of God, and learn to put on the garment of praise. Learn to encourage yourself. Learn to encourage yourself. When that little messenger comes behind after you took the hit, don't listen to him. Break out your Bible. Start listening to God.
Amen.
Open your mouth and start encouraging yourself. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
See, discouraged people. I'm reading this. I have a set of books by Chuck Swindoll, and they're profiles of character. And I was reading about David, the king. And there are times David went through some horrible things. He messed up, made some mistakes, he blew it. And there were times people wanted to kill. In fact, we'll look at one. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I want you to see this. 1 Samuel 30. But there are times when we get discouraged. Discouraged people. This is something Chuck Swindoll said. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Discouraged people don't need critics. They're already hurting. Are you with me? They don't need more guilt piled on distress. They need encouragement. In a word, they need a refuge, a place where they can feel safe, where they can heal and hide. Amen? David learned how to do that by hiding in God. And that's where he healed. There was a time when David and his troops were out fighting a battle. And while they're out fighting this battle, the enemy came around behind them and went to Ziklag, burned the town down, took all their wives, took all their children, took all their lives, took everything. They're out fighting. And when they come back to Ziklag, they find out, hey, somebody attacked the home base. And so they go back to Ziklag, they find the place burned to the ground, all their wives and all their children taken a prey. Notice what happened. 1 Samuel 30, verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Abinahom and Abigail. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Listen to this. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But I want you to notice what David did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When you face a situation where it seems like all hope is lost, not only that, all your buddies turned on you. Not only did they turn on you, they're ready to take you out to the side of town and put you down. I mean, that's bad.
Amen.
Not only has everything that's valuable to you been stolen, but now your friends have turned against you, and they're ready to take you out and stone you to death.
Amen.
What do you do in a situation like that? Don't you know that messenger was sitting on his shoulder saying, David, you messed up. You may as well die today. Today's a good day to die. Are you with me? I mean, you blew it. You may as well end it right here. But what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Yes.
Here's the thing I want to leave with you, the thought I want to leave with you. As the body of Christ, we need to encourage ourselves, but we also need to encourage each other.
Yes.
Many times we have friends, we have neighbors. That's what fellowship is all about.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
See, and that's the thing I love about MGCC, is we have great fellowship.
Yes, you do.
You know, that's why we have everybody, greet your neighbor before you sit down. Because we've all been to churches where you slide in the back door, everybody looked at you like you got the plague, and you sit down and you come and you leave and you don't know anybody, you don't interact with anybody. And sometimes you need to be encouraged.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you've taken some blows through the week. And you need somebody to just say a good word and lift your spirits. Are you with me?
Amen.
So we not only need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, we need to encourage others.
Amen.
You'd be surprised how much power a good word is.
Amen.
In the lives of people. Now here's a little tip for you. Wives, when your husband comes home after a long day at work, don't beat him up.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably taken a few blows through the day. What he needs is encouragement.
Amen.
Are you with me? Now, he might need straighten out about something, but don't jump on the brother. Are you with me? Hey, I've been there, done that. There are times my wife has to straighten me out.
Amen.
Well, give me a little encouragement first.
Amen.
All right? Hey, husbands,
Amen.
There are times your wife's had a long day, man. When you come home, you see dishes in the sink, don't start jumping on somebody.
Amen.
Encourage them, I remember times when my kids were real little, I'd come home and hey, there's diapers to change and babies to feed. Hey, that's hard work. That's hard work. Thank God I got out of it, but that's a hard work. Now, I say that in jest, but I'm serious. When my son was born, I almost changed. I changed at least half of them diapers. I couldn't breastfeed him, but I changed. I helped. When my daughter was born, hey, I got little Junior there to do some work. He changed more diapers than I did, By the time Sarah came along, I got two kids and my wife at home. I didn't change many diapers. Thank God, Hey, it's a team effort. Family's a team. But hey, you've got to encourage. We got to lift each other up, I make a habit when I go out in public, if I'm in a retail store, if I'm at a restaurant. You know, a lot of people wear name badges. I always make a note.
Yes.
Look at the name badge.
Yes.
And call that person by their name.
Amen.
Before I leave.
Amen.
And when I go to a restaurant, I still do it today. I look, first thing I look for is not what's on the menu, what's their name.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that I can be kind.
Amen.
And one of the nicest things people ever hear spoken all day long is their name.
Amen.
And I've seen it time and time and time again. When waiters come to the table, I say, hey, John, excuse me, could you? And they just light up. Because it's not, hey, you.
Right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, it's hey, he knows my name. You know, the guys, we get together every month at Cracker Barrel. You know, I know all the waitresses' names. They'll wait on us. Hey, Joyce, how you doing? You know, and hey, Debbie. And they know us. Hey, how you doing? Because we leave a nice tip. We do. We do. They all know us. Hey, how you doing? We can walk through there, and I'll get four or five greets. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how are you? Hey, how you? Just little things.
Amen.
That can lift people up.
Amen.
You know? And I don't know most of these people personally. I don't know them. But I can still offer a good word.
That's right.
To encourage them, lift
yes.
them up.
Yes.
How much more should we do that with our brothers and sisters
Amen.
In Christ?
Amen.
Because you don't know what people go through. You don't know what they're facing. You don't know what they've been hit with through the week.
Hallelujah.
But at least we can encourage.
Amen.
At least we can lift them up.
Amen.
You know? And there are times the Holy Spirit may give you a sense that something's amiss, then, you know, you don't have to make a broad declaration in front of everybody. You know, pull them aside publicly. Hey, how you
Amen.
Doing? You know, I just,
Amen.
God put you on my heart. You know, can I pray with you about
Amen.
Anything?
Amen.
Just want to let you know how much I care about you and I love you. And, man, you're doing a great work.
Hallelujah.
See, little things
Hallelujah.
Like that.
Yes.
Amen.
Make a
Amen.
Big difference.
Yes.
Amen.
You know? Instead of sizing them up, I'm like, hey, he got new gaiters on. I wonder where he got the money for that. You know, hey, you know how folk are. That's how people do things.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like their dress. Well, it ain't your dress. Don't worry about it. You know? Oh, I don't like the color of their hair. It's not your hair. Don't worry about it. You know? Hey. Amen.
Amen.
Encourage. Amen. Encourage.
Hallelujah.
Encourage. Not only will you impact people for good, maybe you can plant a little seed that'll give them a merry heart.
Amen.
A merry heart does good like a medicine.
Yes.
And it can literally affect their physical and mental health.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen?
You know, it doesn't take a lot to be a blessing to people.
That's right.
It doesn't. We think that, well, you know, if I had more money, I could help people. No, it doesn't take much.
Amen.
Doesn't take much. I'll tell you a story and then I'll quit. I remember years ago, in fact, it was the same bus trip my baby and I took. We stopped in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I don't know, it was early in the morning. And I got off the bus, and there was a Jack in the Box restaurant right beside the bus station. So I came out of the bus station, and I noticed there was a fella laying on the sidewalk in front of the doors. Everybody was avoiding him, going through the other way. I'm minding my own business. I don't know who this guy is. Never been to Arizona before in my life. So I walked past him and the Holy Spirit tugged on my heart and said, help him. And so I turned around, went back, and the guy was laying in a pile on the sidewalk. And I shook him and he popped up. I said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right. They let me out of the tank last night. I'm just sleeping it off. He was drunk. Got out of jail first thing in the morning. They threw him out. Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, buy him breakfast. I didn't know this man. Never been to Arizona before in my life. So I said, hey, come on. Let me buy you breakfast. He looked at me. He said, I don't have any money. I said, I didn't ask you for any money. I said, come on, let me buy you breakfast. He said, what? I don't have any money. I said, I didn't ask you for money. Come on, let me buy you breakfast. Now, I only got like 10 minutes before we got to get out of here. So he got up off the sidewalk. We walked down to the Jack in the Box. Now, I got enough sense to know you don't give a wino money.
Amen.
Right? Because guess what? He's going to go get a liquid breakfast.
Yeah.
And so I sat him down at the table. I took him first to the counter. I said, what do you like, pancake sausage? He says, I don't have any money. I said, I didn't ask you for any money. What do you like? You like pancakes? Yeah. You like coffee? Yeah. You like orange juice? Yeah. I said, all right. So I ordered all the stuff. And I took him back to the table. And I went up to the counter, paid for the food. I said, when it's ready, give it to him. And they gave me the coffee. I went over, gave him the coffee. And he looked at me. He said, who are you? I said, you don't know me. My name is Bill. I'm just passing through. He said, I don't believe it. Who are you? I said, you don't know me. I said, I'm just passing through. My name's Bill. He said, well, I don't have any money. I said, guy, look, forget about it. It's paid for. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Then he bust out crying. Not softly either. I'm in a restaurant full of people. I don't believe it. Oh, my God, I don't believe it. He's crying and hollering. I'm like, shh, hold it down, shh. He said, who are you? I said, man, you don't know me, man. I said, I just wanted to buy you breakfast and ask you a question. He said, oh, brother, I'm backslidden. I said, shh, hold on, it's okay, man. I said, he still loves you. Jesus still loves you. Just pray with me. He'll forgive you, clean you up, and come back into your life. And he did. And he looked at me again. He said, who are you? I said, you don't know me. I'm just passing through. And this man, before I left, he said something that I will never forget. Now, this guy was probably in his late 50s, looked like he was 70. Alcohol, excuse my expression, was kicking his behind. Okay, and that's normally what it does.
Oh, yeah.
And I was leaving him. His food was coming. And he said to me, in my whole lifetime, nobody ever bought me a cup of coffee. And that's all it took to reach him. A cup of coffee and listening to the Holy Ghost. Not only can we encourage, but if we'll have the mind of Christ and not be so focused on ourselves, we can, by the Holy Spirit, change people's lives. Amen? Be an encourager. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Take that little extra step to do something for other people because you can encourage and lift them up. And there are times God will do something amazing. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah.